I'll be speaking this morning of two groups of people. I'll turn to Romans 9, where we read of the first group. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. This passage tells us of God's chosen people, Israel. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. Now we have the distinguishing characteristics of the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God, blessed forever. Amen. Now we turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we read of the second group, who are called Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Spirit of the Lord speaking to Gentiles who have become Christians. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The picture of the Gentiles. The picture of the children of Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion of His Word according to His promises. Now, we continue our study in Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians. I'm going to read verses 13 through 16 of the third chapter of Galatians. We had for our meditation last Sunday the 13th verse. But I want to read that you may see the connection with the rest of that. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Every curse that God has pronounced upon sin and the sinner was put upon the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now in verse 14, we have the two peoples of whom I read a few moments ago. The blessings of Abraham, that they might come upon us who are Gentiles. To the Jews, the Gentiles were dogs. Contact even with the shadow of a Gentile brought defilement upon the Jew. Paul manifestly had one thought before him at all times as he thought of the Jews and the Gentiles. And that was the one expressed in Genesis 12 and 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And here's the thought. And in thee, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Every blessing that anybody gets is going to come through Abraham. So, Paul's prayer, hope, for the Gentiles to whom he'd been called to be an apostle was that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve in the likeness of his own image. God created Abraham to have dominion over the heavens and the earth. But Satan, as the anointed cherub who exercised that dominion, though he had forfeited that position, he retained that position until one qualified to take his place. And God created Adam in the image of his own likeness and gave him dominion. But so far as the record goes, and I find nothing to the contrary, it was on the same day of his creation that the anointed cherub of Satan came into the garden and tempted Adam and Eve and caused Adam to disqualify himself to rule and to reign. That resulted in the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. God dealt with man as a whole, the human race, as an entity, but the abject failure of the human race resulted in the flood, which destroyed all the human race from off the face of the earth, with the exception of Noah and his family, comprised of him and his wife, his three sons and their three wives. And then God started over again, but dealing with this new generation. Failure came to them on the plains of Shinar, and God confounded their languages, gave them racial characteristics, family characteristics, and separated them, putting the sons of Japheth across the northern part of the earth, sons of Shem across the central part of the earth, the sons of Ham across the southern part of the earth. And then he divided the earth into continents and islands, separated by the oceans, the seas, and the rivers. Then God called out one man through whom he was going to produce a posterity that would be a blessing to all mankind. That man was Abram, later called Abraham. With the people who worshipped idols, pagans, living in Ur of the Chaldees. And from this man, Abram, who became Abraham, God developed a race of people. Now, when Noah awoke from his drunken stupor, occasioned by the drinking of wine which he made but did not know was intoxicating, I repeat, Noah did not know the wine would make him drunk because he had drunk it all his life prior to the flood, and it didn't make him drunk. The reason for that, the canopy of water between the earth and the sun filtered out the actinic rays of the sun, which produces fermentation. But with the release of that canopy of water completely encircling the globe, the release of that upon the earth in connection with the breaking up of the waters of the deep caused the flood. And then after the flood, when the sun's rays had direct access to the grapes and the grape juice they made, fermentation resulted and drunkenness followed. But when Noah woke from that, he spoke a prophecy of God. Cursed be Canaan. Servant of servants shall he be under his brethren. Blessed be Shem, or blessed be Jehovah, the Elohim of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. I call your attention only to the blessing pronounced upon Shem, who was the progenitor of Heber, became the father of the Hebrews. Blessed be Jehovah, the Elohim of Shem. Shem was distinguished from Ham and Japheth in that he had a god. It seems that neither Ham nor Japheth had a god. But Shem did, and his god was named Jehovah, who is the Christ of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ of the New Testament. The prophecy upon Shem's God was that through Shem was to come the spiritual blessings of God. Through Shem. Now, Abraham was a descendant of Shem. Through Abraham are to come the blessings to mankind. Through Abraham. We have that in the 12th verse, which I read a moment ago, the third chapter of Genesis. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The prophecy concerning Japheth was that God would enlarge him. And Japheth became the colonizer and the civilizer of the world. But he was to dwell in the tents of Shem. Every spiritual blessing that Japheth was to receive would come from Shem, from Shem's God. Now I'm thinking of the three major blessings that have come to all mankind through Shem. First of all, the Messiah is a descendant of Shem. Secondly, the Word of God, humanly speaking, has come through Shem. Every book in this Bible of 66 books, every one of them written, humanly speaking, by a Jew, notwithstanding eminent scholars who contend that Luke was a Gentile. To which I reply, if he's a Gentile, then nothing that he wrote has any place in the Word of God, because God did not give his statutes nor his laws to any Gentile. That's the Word of God. Gave it only to descendants of Shem, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the third blessing was that they were to be the missionaries. God uses a word of them that has been misappropriated and brought into abuse and disrepute. But God uses a word to describe them. Isaiah speaks of them. They were to be Jehovah's Witnesses to the ends of the earth. Israel, not a bunch of Gentiles who call themselves Jews and are not, but are of the seed of Satan, so says the Word of God. Now, God dealt with Shem, his descendant, Abraham, from Abraham, Isaac, and from Isaac, Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's 12 sons. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So we have then the sons of Israel, the tribes of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. They're the ones through whom the world is to be blessed. Now all who were not descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel were called Gentiles. The Hebrews had a name for them, the Greek word, the Goyim. In my university days, we had the same thing. We had the Greeks and the barbarians. The Jews had the Jews and the Goyim, the common people. Another word called the hoi polloi. And anyone who was not a Jew was a Gentile, a dog, the offscouring of the earth. They couldn't enter the tabernacle. They couldn't enter the temple of God. The only way one could enter into those privileges and blessings was to become a Jew themselves. But throughout the whole of the Old Testament, there was a hope and expectation of the Gentiles being blessed someday. In Matthew 15, we have an incident that throws light upon this. Matthew chapter 15. I want you to read this so you can see it with your own eyes. Now, Paul is desirous of the Gentiles receiving the blessings that are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's. And here in Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. One of the very few times he ever stepped outside the land of Israel. He went over into Gadara on one occasion and here to Tyre and Sidon. But his ministry was restricted to the land as well as to the people. And behold, a woman of Canaan, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her, not a word. The woman with a daughter possessed of demons, begging for help, and he wouldn't even reply to her. He wouldn't acknowledge her presence nor her request. The disciples came unto him, begging him, saying, Send her away! She's crying after us! She's warping the life out of us. Get her out of here! We can't take much more of this. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She had used a title that only one of Israel could use. Only a child of Israel could say, Thou son of David. She was a Gentile. She had no right to speak to him as such. And she knew it, as is evidenced in the 35th verse. Then she came and worshipped, that is, she came and she fell down before him, saying, Lord, help me. She could address him as Lord, but not the son of David. Lord, help me. He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. The Lord called her a dog. He's using the terminology of the day, the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, it isn't right, it isn't appropriate, it isn't fit for me to take that which is given to Israel and give it to the Gentiles. You Gentiles have nothing in me. And I cannot take that which belongs to Israel and give it to you, a Gentile. She said, True, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Our text uses two different words for dogs. The word our Lord used for dog in the 26th verse means just an ordinary dog that would be comparable to a boxer, might even be a Great Dane or St. Bernard, a big dog. And she uses the diminutive form in the 27th verse, the little dogs, kind of like a chihuahua. Little house dog, or these miniature dogs that they have. She said, I know that, but the little house dogs can eat the crumbs that fall off of the table. I know that you're not to take the things of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and give them to us Gentiles, but I know also that somewhere, sometime, somehow, somewhen, down the corridors of time, I know that us Gentiles are going to profit by the things of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can eat the crumbs. Hold your place there for just a minute and turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Verse 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the peoples, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes of the Gentiles, to bring out the prisoners from the prison of the Gentiles, and them that sit in darkness, the Gentiles, out of the prison house. Prophecy of Isaiah that the Gentiles are going to be blessed in Abraham. It's all the way down the line. Now, still holding your place in Matthew, releasing that in Isaiah, turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And we see the quotation which speaks of the fulfillment of that prophecy. Would you settle for 2? Luke chapter 2, verse 32. Here in this song and prophecy of Simeon as he holds the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms. Look at verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. There receive the Gentiles and Israel associated together in the blessings of God. Now back to Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 27. This Syrophoenician woman said, true Lord, true Lord, I know that we don't get the blessings of Israel. We don't that, but I do know that somewhere, sometime we're going to have an overflow and the crumbs that fall from the master's table shall be ours. Then Jesus answered, listen. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it known unto thee even as thy faith. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Great is thy faith. She believed the word of God that us Gentiles are going to receive something that comes from thee sometime, somewhere. Now, the Apostle Paul, in this epistle to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham. I want us for just a moment to look at Romans 9, and I want Matthew 15 and verse 27. This Syrophoenician woman said, true Lord, I know that we don't get the blessings of Israel. We don't that, but I do know that somewhere, sometime we're going to have an overflow and the crumbs that fall from the master's table shall be ours. Then Jesus answered, listen. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it known unto thee even as thy faith. And their daughter was made whole from that very hour. Great is thy faith. She believed the word of God that us Gentiles are going to receive something that comes from thee sometime, somewhere. Now, the Apostle Paul, in this epistle to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham. I want us for just a moment to look at Romans 9. And I want you to go from here this morning with a just appreciation of the people called Israel. The people called Israel. The only thing wrong in the world today is Israel. I say the only thing, that's just part of it. There's several things that are wrong. Number one, the Lord is not in His right place. His right place is seated on the throne of David, ruling and reigning in righteousness, but one day He will be in His right place. The church is not in her right place. Her right place is as consort queen, ruling and reigning with the Lord. The Jew is not in his right place. His right place is as the head of the nations, being God's number one people, exercising authority over the earth. A lot of things are out of their place, but one day they soon will be in their place. Romans chapter 9. Who are the Israelites? To them pertaineth adoption. Israel is the only nation that God has ever adopted. Now he's going to adopt individual believers when the Lord returns and the issues of the judgment seat of Christ are finalized. But Israel is the only nation. We hear people talk of the United States as being a Christian nation. And I reply, it's bound to be, seeing we have so many fine Christians in a certain eastern city where the Washington Monument is, if you know what I'm talking about. So many fine Christians seeking the will of the Lord. May the Lord help us, and he will. Israel is the only nation that has the glory of God. The glory of God was present with Israel in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. No other nation has had that blessing. The covenants. God has never made a covenant with any people save the nation of Israel. People talk about the new covenant, but if you read Jeremiah and then Hebrews, that new covenant is going to be made with the house of Israel. The house of Israel, not the church. The giving of the law. The law was given only to Israel. It was never given to a Gentile nor to a Christian. The law. The law. And when someone would put you under the law, ask them if they are a Jew and ask them if they think you are a Jew. Because the law is given only to the nation of Israel. The service of God. All these forms and ceremonies and accoutrements and appliances and additions of mechanical and physical that are used in worship today were never given to Gentiles, nor to Christian, nor to the church. They were given only to the nation of Israel. The promises of God. God never made a promise to any nation except the nation of Israel. The fathers. Nobody is ever permitted to or entitled to call anybody father except the nation of Israel. We can speak of Father Abraham, Father Isaac, Father Jacob, but you can't speak of Father Ed Wilson. That does not belong. That only for Israel. And of whom concerning the flesh, Christ came. He came from Israel, and he is God forever. Now that's the nation of Israel. And all the blessings of God are to be poured out upon Israel. Now, if you want to get where the blessings of God are being poured out, you've got to get where Israel is. That's where they're being poured out. Now, I want you to turn a moment to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's take a look at ourselves in the mirror that God has here for us. The mirror that God has given us. We look at ourselves. We look at ourselves. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Before they were saved, they were without Christ. Without Christ. The enormity of that condition is to be found in a verse of Scripture which says, there is none other name under heaven. There is none other name under heaven. Buddha, Confucius, Zoroaster, Mohammed, Mary Baker Eddy, Pastor Russell, Madame Dreyzant and Blavatsky, Catherine Kuhlman, Amy Simple MacPherson. I can name hundreds of men. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. One name and one name alone. Christ. And you were without Christ. I was without Christ. What that caused me to be an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. I was a foreigner to the company that God had promised to bless. a stranger, an alien. No blessing of God could fall upon me because I was outside the commonwealth where his blessings would go. Strangers from the covenants of promise. I didn't have a promise. Every promise of the Old Testament to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Promise. Oh, the promises which we have now in Christ. Outside of Israel, there was no promise of life beyond the grave. There was no promise of heaven. There was no promise of the watch care of God Almighty. No promise of His providential protection. No promise of His angels to watch over us. No promise of His Spirit to come upon us. No promise at all. I was called upon to conduct the funeral of a gangster. I've had some strange funerals. I've had funerals I was the only preacher in town would conduct. It's amazing to me how holy some of these preachers get, but that they won't bury the dead. I can tell you some funerals I've had in town to make your head stand on end if you knew that pastors that wouldn't bury them. But I had this funeral of a gangster, and he was a young man. He'd been murdered in gang war. And I was talking to his wife. I asked her if she was a Christian. And she screamed and she yelled and she cried and she said, no, unless he accepted Christ as his Savior while he fell dying, he's in hell today. It ran cry. Of course, they have no hope. There is no hope. But then Gentiles had no hope at all. They had no hope at all. And that makes this thing that Jesus said to this woman of Syrophoenicia. I cannot take the meat from the children's table and give it to the dogs. In John chapter 12, I want you to look at this experience. The 12th chapter of the Gospel according to John, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sirs, we would see Jesus. Here's some men that came from Greece to Jerusalem. Now you get your map and you look at the distance from Greece to Jerusalem. They went all that distance to see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. No, Jesus refused to see them. Jesus refused to see them. All the way from Greece to Jerusalem to see Jesus. I saw in the paper the other day where somebody went somewhere to get an audience with somebody and somebody said no. Well, here these Greeks go all the way to Jerusalem for an audience with Jesus, and he said no. Except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die. Unless I die and rise again, they have no part in me. I have nothing for the Greeks. I have nothing for the Gentiles until after I dead, buried, and risen again. No, I won't see them. He had nothing for them. Harsh? No, it was just the law. Just the law. Now, back again to Ephesians chapter 2. I want us to get the rest of this picture of who we were so we can see who we are. All right. No promise. Having no hope. No hope. No hope. That's reading there's so many suicides today. No hope. No hope whatever. And without God in the world. Without God in the world. How then can a Gentile be blessed of God? Let's read the 13th verse. Now remember, as we're reading it, we were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the promises of God, had no hope and without God. But now, in Christ Jesus, all of you Gentiles who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now turn back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ hath bought us. Christ hath paid the price of our redemption. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. If that disturbs you about him hanging on the tree, know that when their arms were extended and affixed to the cross, they had to tie their wrist tight to the cross piece because the nails would pull out right quick and they'd fall. But they tied them or they hung them there. Then they drove the nails through the hands to accentuate the suffering. The same applied to the feet and all of the other brutality that was poured out upon them. He was hanged. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, why did Christ redeem us? That the blessing of Abraham might come to us. That the blessing of Abraham might come on all the Gentiles. All right? Christ hung on the tree. Christ died for us on the tree. All the curses of God upon the Gentiles as well as the Jews were put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made a curse for us that the blessings of Abraham might come unto us. Now, the blessings of Abraham, innumerable, innumerable. The greatest blessing is that of salvation by grace. That's the blessing of Abraham. Salvation by grace. What must I do to be saved? Believe the word written by descendants of Abraham concerning a son of Abraham, Jesus the Christ, and believe on that son of Abraham, Jesus the Christ, unto life everlasting. And the blessing of Abraham come to us because Christ poured out his blood for us. No covenant, no promise, no Christ, no God, no hope, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ has purchased all of that for us. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Israel as a nation miserably failed of God. And God has temporarily set aside the nation of Israel and some individuals of Israel. But the Word of God tells us in the 11th chapter of Romans that whereas many of the natural branches were cut off, some of the branches cut off, not all of them, some of the natural branches of the olive tree symbolizing Israel in their covenant relationship with God, some of those branches are cut off, and the wild olive tree, branches of the wild olive tree symbolizing Gentile, were grafted in among those Jewish branches that remain. So that those of us who are Gentiles who've been grafted in to this olive tree, Israel, are partakers of the fatness of the root and the trunk of the native or the domesticated olive tree, which is Israel. So that any Gentile, anywhere in the world, that bears any fruit unto God, does so because of the sap that flows from the Jewish roots up through the Jewish trunk, out through the Gentile branches. And that's where we get our blessing. So then, the whole world is to be blessed in Abraham. And we come into those blessings through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, how trite and oft times seemingly unexpressionless is expression, thank you. But Lord God, what else can we say? We thank Thee. We thank Thee, Father, for Jesus the Christ, who shed His blood, that we who once were far off could be brought nigh unto Thee, yea, even unto salvation, everlasting life. Father, bless this study to Thine honor and glory. Bless it, Lord, to our good. And unto Thee shall be the praise, the honor, the glory in Christ's name. Amen.